This is Leo Babieu for KTWH Community Radio for Two Harbors, and I've got the pleasure today of visiting with Larissa Sandretsky, who is working in Lake County as the COVID-19 Communications Coordinator. It's a fairly recent hire, isn't it, Larissa? You're just on the job for what, a month or so?
Yeah. Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I've been working with Lake County for about 2 months now, just helping with the COVID-19 response in our county.
Okay. And you're not new to this area at all. I mean, you are a graduate of Two Harbors High School back in 08. You graduated from Gustavus Adolphus and came right on back to work at the Lake County News Chronicle. You were both an award-winning reporter and then editor at that paper.
Yep. Yeah. So I've been around Lake County my whole life, I guess you could say. Yeah, and I'm really happy to be. I've worked closely with public health in Lake County for most of my career, and I'm happy to be back with the role within the county.
Yeah, let's go into a little more detail there. After you were at the Chronicle, you worked in public health realm for what I'm going to call the Community Health Board, but there was a bigger umbrella organization. Could you remind me, the 7-county agency versus the 4-county agency that we might be familiar with here? Here we know that's Carlton, Cook, Lake, and St. Louis Community Health Board, but there's a bigger umbrella that you worked with.
Yeah, I was an employee of Healthy Northland, which was a collaboration of our local Carlton, Cook, Lake, St. Louis Community Health Boards with the Aiken, Itasca, Coochooting Community Health Board. So the entire region of northeastern Minnesota. We applied for funding as a group and implemented grants as a group, mainly focused on chronic disease prevention. So obviously Lake County was a part of that, so I worked closely with our Lake County Health and Human Services department, as well as other 6 counties in our collaborative.
Were you involved a fair amount in the aspects of the Bridge to Health surveys?
Yeah, a little bit. That was a small part of my job. Definitely, I think it covers the same area, so we worked closely with the sponsors and people who put on that survey, and we used the data. It collects health about the region, it collects data about the health of the region. So it was always information we relied upon when applying for grants and deciding, you know, where our efforts were most relevant and where we could do the most good.
I asked that, Larissa, because we recently have been running some public service announcements that the latest Bridge the Health survey has been out for some time, and they were asking for folks who hadn't yet responded to try to respond so they could get the most meaningful, accurate measurements, because I suppose in spring of next year, they'll issue a new compendium of the survey results across the region, which is always interesting to see how we're faring, and especially complicated by the fact that we're in this pandemic year and people's attention may be elsewhere, so they may have had some challenges getting even proper rate of response to the survey.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting year. I know this isn't what our whole interview is about, but especially with the census, I think, too, they're kind of a similar, I guess, messaging of you're getting this thing in the mail and we're asking you to send it back. So I think it was really an interesting year for them to promote it. But I think we're really lucky in this region to have that data. It goes back to 1990, I think, the first survey. So just to have that historical look at the health of our region and to be doing a survey during the COVID-19 pandemic is going to be really valuable, I think, for years to come, definitely.
Indeed. I think the best we can tell that the funding to support your position with the county as COVID-19 communications coordinator is probably tied to funding through the CARES Act. And you want to explain to the listeners kind of what is the main thrust of what your job is set up to accomplish? What are the things that you do kind of on a daily basis, and what impact are you trying to have?
Yeah, my main goal in partnership with the Health and Human Services Department is just to keep our community informed with reliable factual information. We know there's a lot of misinformation about COVID-19 out there, as well as maybe just a lack of local information. There's a lot of federal and state, updates. We get state numbers pretty regularly and federal numbers of how many people have COVID-19, how many people have been tested, how many deaths there have been. And we really want to be able to communicate those numbers as well as those local numbers, as well as what's happening locally to our community, so that people can make the best decisions based on that data.
Well, I'm very in tune with that effort on your part, and I can point out KTWH has tried mightily, despite being an almost all volunteer-driven organization, to try to update folks on what the Department of Health's data is showing us. And this is a perfect example. We've been in a recent uptick since August 28th. As of yesterday, we had 105 cases, so we've had 77 cases in some 54, I'm not doing the math well, Larissa, but it's been approaching like a case and a half a day after going 6+ months with more like a case a week. So there's definitely been changes in the trends, and just even making sure we understand how the information is released and what it means is interesting, because today at the 11 o'clock update on the website that I'm looking at right now, the Minnesota Department of Health situation update, the map shows me that Lake County is registered having 105 confirmed cases like it did yesterday. And then in the scroll down of county of residence data, it shows 108. You have any insight on why that might be the one of the things we see? Oh, now I'm putting you on the spot.
I think the 108 is probably the accurate number. I'm guessing it's just a delay in... So the way the system works is there is a delay from when the positive test is registered with the state. So if somebody tests positive for COVID-19, the state has to determine where that person lives to add them to the list of cases. So there is usually a delay while they're doing the case investigation. So, you know, that's when somebody calls the person who's confirmed positive and asks, you know, where they think they might have gotten it, if they've had symptoms, are there other people that should be notified that may have also been exposed to COVID-19? There's a whole process with the case investigation that helps determine which county gets counted. So I think there's just maybe some delay in in what feeds the map and what feeds what spreadsheet it's coming from. And then sometimes we've gone down in case numbers because a case has been reassigned to a different county or something like that once they have determined where the person lives.
Right.
That can be common with college students, like what is their residence, which county are they counted as a part of. So it's just a lot of data wrangling that can be delayed and sometimes changing frequently.
Yes, and I
as
think
things are figured out.
I think the Department of Health site has had to reflect some of the challenges because there are tests that are given that are rather short turnaround for results, and others that are still lingering out to 3, 4, or 5 days. And I think I'm not going to ask for your editorial opinion, but it gets complicated in that it is hard to do effective case investigation, to do contact tracing that might prevent spread if you're not hearing for sure for 5 days that the person actually had it on the day they were tested 5 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. We are hoping, we have two people now trained in Lake County that are doing case investigation for us, two volunteers, and that's a big assist, I think, where it's not just the state trying to tackle everybody's case investigation. We have some people here who can help with that, so hopefully get some quicker turnaround time once the test is confirmed, at least, that contact tracing happens faster. But yeah, we always recommend, I know it's hard, but if you have been in contact with somebody with COVID-19 or you suspect you have it, have symptoms, and if you've been tested, the best course of action is, of course, to stay home and stay away from people outside of your household until you know for sure or until 2 weeks have passed.
I think that can't be repeated enough because I've encountered several people who have told me, well, I've been tested, and I said, well, why am I seeing you?
Chill out. And I know it's a lot to ask of people. I totally understand how difficult that can be for a lot of people, you know, going to work, if you need your income, and there's all sorts of barriers to staying at home for 2 weeks for most people, but it is one of the best ways we can kind of stop the spread.
Yes, that's certainly what you just got into reflects on how this doesn't affect everyone equally. People who have latitude to take time off, it works much better for than for people who are literally living paycheck to paycheck. That's a story for a reporter like yourself, but you're not wearing that hat right now, are you?
No.
Okay. Maybe we should talk a little bit about how this messaging happens that you're putting out for the public. What ways are you getting the messages out, and what are you finding the best go-to methodology? Is it new school stuff? Is it social media? What tools are in your toolbox for communicating about COVID-19?
Yeah, well, you at KTWH have been a great partner for us. Maybe listeners have heard some of our PSAs that we've had on the station or previous interviews. We're also working closely with the North Shore Journal. Run Katie Mayo, the reporter there, has done some great stories and a lot of ads and other information in the newspaper that goes to all of our county households. And then it really has to be a multifaceted approach because people are reached in so many different ways. So obviously our Facebook page is a good communication tool for us. Our website, people can go there for case number updates and the latest and what's happening with the county, such as, you know, opening hours or how you can make an appointment if you need to talk to somebody in one of the departments. And then we're also working with just employers and other community partners in the area to share our messages and kind of get the word out about all sorts of things. So, you know, like our partners at Lakeview Clinic, they obviously communicate with their patients in one way. So we work with them to get some of our messaging out that way. And we've worked with the Lake County Chamber of Commerce to communicate with all of their members some of our messages. So it's really throwing a lot of darts at the board and hoping people hear it from multiple places and that everybody gets some of that information somehow.
And has the school district as well been partner in to some extent, or are you consulting with them to help them with their messaging?
Yeah, definitely. They've been a big help. And I think that's really important for us, like the schools and the school district and the clinic. You know, they have such a direct line of communication with their patients and students. So if we can get our trusted messages through those trusted messengers, that's really effective. So yeah, the school has definitely been helpful in getting accurate information out to their student body and the parents as well.
Great. We're even hopeful that we might be able to get some student voices on the radio doing some messaging.
Yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to that. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, and I very much appreciate visiting with you today. And I'm going to give you a little bit of off-topic but real relevant question, which is, as somebody who even served as editor at the Lake County News Chronicle, how did it feel to you that the Chronicle was shut down this spring by the Fargo Forum's parent company?
Yeah, it's definitely a loss for the community, I think. I always, you know, as someone who's worked in media for a lot of my career, I think the more sources, the better, and the more investment in local media, the better. So I think it was definitely a loss for the community. We're lucky that we have another paper still that is able to kind of pick up some of that loss. But I think it was really, it's a hard landscape now for newspapers to survive, but it was really a loss for the community.
Yeah, without there being much of a obvious economic model for these weekly papers paying professional reporters to return to those days, we have to build a new local media landscape, and some of it has to be what your humble volunteer-driven radio station can do, and we are grateful that we do have another paper that overlaps in our area and is able to do coverage, but they're trying to cover a lot of things for a large area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we are still lucky in Lake County, though, with KTWH and North Shore Journal. It's still a good, you know, a lot of communities don't have anything close to that. So I think we still have it good, but it always could be better, of course.
I recall when you went over the social media and said on our Facebook page, I wanted to double back and say, okay, what's that primary face? You're talking to a guy who's not a very avid Facebooker. So if I'm looking for the messaging about COVID-19 from Lake County, I'm going to the Lake County Facebook page?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, just search Lake County and you can like us and get updates there. And another new thing we're starting hopefully next week is a e-newsletter. So if you don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, that'll be a good way to get a weekly dose of COVID-19 information from the county.
Well, well, fantastic. But do you have to go to the Facebook page to subscribe to the e-newsletter?
On our website too, okay. So you don't have to sign in.
Okay, give us the.
So yeah, if you go to our Lake.
Give us that website.
Yeah.
It's a fussy one.
Yeah, if you go to our Lake County website, co.lake.mn.us, on the front page, there's a red bar that says, I think, COVID-19 updates. And you can click that and you'll get to our information page. And there's a link to sign up to our e-newsletter there.
Fantastic. I hope we get you a whole bunch of subscribers then from people here in this interview. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
Larisa Sandretsky, the Lake County COVID-19 Communications Coordinator. Good luck with this mission. It's an important one.
Thank you so much for having me on, Leo.
You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. As I just said, that's Larisa Sandretsky. She's doing the COVID-19 communications for Lake County during this ongoing pandemic, and Hopefully you'll stay tuned to KTWH for more information on this important topic.